This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Talk a little bit more about Democrats siloing themselves. An FBI agent that's a huge Democrat donor. A story from overseas that applies to us. Emails, voicemails. Allie Beth Stuckey about 30 minutes from now. She has a book out that I really want young ladies to read. In fact, everyone should, but young ladies especially, about how they use your empathy against you. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get into, I'm going to do some emails and some FBI stuff, but one more quick story about how they isolate themselves. Democrats, communists have isolated themselves. They've become the party of coastal elites. That's really what they are. And they are so divorced from the real world that now they can't even venture out. Harris is so divorced from the real world, she refuses to venture out. So Joe Rogan, I know you know who Joe Rogan is. In case you don't, he does a podcast that is enormous. You know, this world, this media world, it changes and it can be confusing. Who is bigger? What is bigger? And honestly, for the longest time, before I even got into media, when someone was referred to as a podcaster, it was almost a slight. Oh, this podcaster. That guy's a podcaster. He has a podcast. Podcasts are enormous now. Enormous. Joe Rogan's show is enormous. The number of people who consume Joe Rogan in a week far exceeds CNN. Far exceeds. It's huge. Even if you don't listen, I don't really listen to anybody, so I don't listen to that one either, but it is enormous. Donald Trump goes and sits down with Joe Rogan. By the way, another wonderful podcast, The Jesse Kelly Show, is available on iHeart and Spotify and iTunes. I've heard it's really witty, really, really good. Anyway, Trump goes sits down with Joe Rogan. Do you know how many people listen to that, all or some of it? 30 million. 30 million people. Let's just pause real quick. Remember when Trump lost, air fingers, quote, lost the 2020 election? Grand total of about 50,000 votes. If we're talking about just the swing states, about 50,000 votes cost Donald Trump that election. We're not going to talk about how they came up with those votes. He just talked to Joe Rogan. Oh, Jewish producer Chris just corrected me. It's 38 million now. 38 million people listen to it. How big of a difference does that make? I don't know. You can't quantify that, but it's big. It's enormous. Joe Rogan, he does his show out of Austin, Texas, and it's 3 hours long. I do know that much. It's 3 hours long. He's not a Republican. He is not on the right. He's not an anti-communist. Kind of a non-political. He was a Bernie Sanders guy. Just a different cat. I have nothing against him. I don't like him. I don't hate him. I don't know him. But definitely not a Republican. And Joe Rogan, since he had Donald Trump on, publicly said, hey, Kamala Harris, you come on too. We'll talk for 3 hours. It's not going to be a hate fest at all. Again, he's not some hardcore right winger. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Hey, Kamala, come sit down. Now, this is what you like to call a golden opportunity. Kamala Harris is taking a beating with men. Men can't stand her. They are losing such a high percentage of men. It probably is going to be the thing that costs them the election if they lose. Joe Rogan's audience, he's a big MMA guy. It's a lot of dudes. I don't know the exact demographics. I would bet you off the top of my head, his audience is 75-80% dudes. I mean, Chris says higher. Okay, so it's a lot. Kamala Harris has the chance to reach millions of men. A golden opportunity gifted to you. You need this demographic. You go, you sit down with them. Even if you don't do well, which I know she can't really do well, she doesn't have the ability to do well, you at least can humanize yourself, maybe even make fun of yourself. Look, I know she can't do that. Have people write your stuff for you. Have people write speeches, write answers for you. Do it. Harris says no. The Harris campaign, they're so unconfident, underconfident. I don't even know what that word is. They're not very confident. They said Joe Rogan has to come to us. We're not going to go to Austin, and we'll only do 1 hour. Why? You can't fake it for 3 hours. You've heard every single interview Dome has done. Every single interview. It's talking points that have been written for her. And when she's asked a question, she is filibustering. She is always trying to run out the clock. That's why she talks the way she talks. Run out the clock and get the interview over before she has to say anything of substance. So no matter who she sits down with, whether it's Bret Baier, it doesn't matter. She can never deliver a great answer. Hey, Kamala, what's your plan for illegal immigration? People are angry about it. What do you say? Well, she understands that interview has been scheduled for a max 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. She understands she cannot answer that question honestly. She believes in opening up the borders of this country the same way every Democrat believes it. So the answer to that question always starts out with, let me just say that I was a prosecutor for a lot of years in California, and I've done a lot of prosecuting of different cartels. It was years of putting this guy behind bars and that guy behind bars. And I personally understand the plight of, again, just filibustering because she knows she has to get 2 minutes. She has to give a 2-minute answer, probably. So if she can say nothing for a minute 30 and then at the end say something along the lines of, it's a complicated problem and we know we have to get better, boom, for her, that's an answer. Look, it looks bad for 20 or 30 minutes. On a podcast, just like this radio show, or maybe you're listening to the podcast, it's intimate. The thing about radio that is different than TV, because you know I do TV too. I have a TV show on the first every night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Not that I'm going to plug it or anything. I have a TV show too, and I love TV, but radio podcasting, because I do your life with you, you know me. I work out with you. I'm riding in the car with you maybe right now. I make dinner with you. I mow the lawn with you. I sit at work with you. And because you and me, we talk for 3 hours a day, you know me. You know when I'm angry. You know when I'm goofy. You know when I'm sad. You know my life. You know the name of my dog. My dad died recently. I can't tell you how many emails I got from you saying, Jesse, I cried. I didn't know him. It's crazy. I cried. Chris, how many of those emails did we get? More than I can count. Why? Because I live my life with you. I do things with you. You know me. You know my family. You, in a weird way, knew my father. It was a loss for you because it was a loss for me. It is intimate. This form of media is intimate, whether it's radio or podcasting. You can't lie your way through it. Kamala Harris and her people understand she could never sit for 3 hours like Trump just did, to his credit, and just bare her soul, because her soul is ugly. Donald Trump didn't just go sit down for 3 hours and talk about taxes and spending and immigration, tariffs and all these other things. That stuff was part of it. He sat down and talked about his love for MMA, his love for UFC. Hey, who's your favorite fighter? Who's the best? A very humanizing thing. And she can't do it. Democrats can't do it because they have isolated themselves. They have siloed themselves in coastal ivory tower. Oh, you have one, Chris? Oh, please play. You can't do this for 3 hours, you'll be exposed.
Should folks stand for the national anthem?
I think that one of the beautiful things about our country is that we were founded on certain principles that we articulated in 1776. We are all and should be treated as equals. We articulated those principles in our Constitution. And part of what we decided is what makes a fair and just and noble society and a democracy, a true democracy, is freedom of religion, freedom, right, of association, freedom to organize, First Amendment. So that is part of who we are as a country, and I will defend it to the core, which is that we give people certain choices in this country.
Should people stand for the national anthem? Yes. Or no. Or if they don't feel like it, they shouldn't. It's a quick answer. I would say yes, of course. But yeah, as we've talked about many times, Chris, the truth is short and direct. When you give long answers like she does, people, even the norms and normas, people instinctively know you're lying. You're covering something up. And man, you want to talk about a missed opportunity. It really is wild how bad of a candidate she is. All right, let's do a couple emails. Then we're going to talk about the FBI donating to Democrats. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We are 1 week away from Election Day, and I am so freaking excited. Remember, you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us voicemails. Hopefully they're nice.
Hey, Mr. Knee Braces, world famous author like yourself.
They're not knee braces, okay? They're not knee braces. They're not knee pads. They're knee sleeves. Okay, I don't need knee braces. I don't need this guff from you either. They're knee sleeves because there's a little stiffness in the knees after I work out. Anyway.
Hey, Mr. Knee Braces, world famous author like yourself, you should be handing out king size candy bars. Get with the program, buddy.
Chris, can we do a price check on a what, Chris? I am going to hand out full size. And it's not too late to buy candy. Halloween's on Thursday. What you said in 3 days? Do you think I'm taking the Pony Express home? I have to drive by a million pharmacies and gas stations. What? Yes, they're going to be stocked up, and I'm getting king-size stuff, provided you give me a little bit of a price check on that. Can you check on a, you know what's an underrated candy bar, Chris? I don't even know if you people can eat this. A Nutrageous. Have you ever had a Nutrageous? It's a Reese's, which Reese's are amazing. You have, right? You people can eat it, right? It's the peanut butter stuff and peanuts and caramel and chocolate. Well, I don't know what's kosher and what's not. Look up a box of king-size Nutrageous. I may rule the neighborhood after we're done. Just give me a quick price check on that. That's what you're good at anyway. Anyway, let's do some emails. Hey, I just wanted to thank you for highlighting the fact we need to stand against the propaganda machine in the future. I've been worried that people think if Trump wins, everything's going to be suddenly fine. In fact, that's when it's going to begin a battle. We've seen these people stop at nothing. So here's something for you, and I don't want to act like this is my thought, but you know who Lee Smith is? No, I'm not talking about the wonderful closing pitcher. I believe Boston Red Sox, but the author, Lee Smith, I've had him on the show before. I don't have a ton of guests, even though I have two tonight. $21 for 18 of them, Chris? 18 king size for $21. Oh my gosh. $37 for 18 of them? Look, regular size is enough. You don't have to hand out king size. Regular size is plenty. Look, this is bad for you. We want to encourage health. Maybe we'll hand out apples. Back to Lee Smith. Lee Smith is this amazing author, and he's a friend of mine. He writes a bunch of good columns. He wrote a book that is frightening.
And Lee Smith is not some wing nut. Lee Smith, he researches things. He knows things. He's been around this a long time. His new book is called, what is it called? Disappearing the President. Anyway, I was talking to Lee Smith about, hey, looks good for Trump, right? The election looks good for not just Trump, but Republicans up and down the ballot. And he's like, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so Lee, we were bouncing ideas. What's going to happen after? Lee thinks, I don't even want to tell you because I didn't like hearing it, but maybe he's right. It's not my thought. It's Lee's thought. Lee thinks there might be significant violence in the urban centers after Trump wins because they have a plan. This is what Lee says, and I want to make sure I reinforce Lee. He's not some nutball. Maybe he's wrong about this, but he is not some nutball. This is what Lee said. He said, Jesse, here's what they do. They get all this violence worked up, which you know, we've seen this before. They get violence worked up in the cities. Chaos, anarchy in the cities. The cities have all gutted their police departments. The DAs are all Soros guys. They get violence ramped up in the cities right after Trump gets elected. Trump decides this time, like he didn't do last time, he decides he's going to make right with the George Floyd stuff. And he's going to send in the National Guard, send in military units to get these cities under control. Lee says then military leaders, remember Obama filled up the military with communists who hate you. Military leaders, some of them refuse the orders. And remember, there's precedent for that. We now have generals who've come out recently and said they refused Donald Trump's orders when they were in office. They just didn't do it. They ignored his orders. Anyway, we have some military officers who say, no, I won't do it. Trump then finds others who will do it. You then potentially have a military clash. The third world banana republic stuff. Stuff that we've seen many, 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 many times before, but stuff we could never imagine here. That's stuff that happens down in Chile, right? What, Chris, don't shake your head.
Buenos Aires.
Now, that wasn't me speaking, and I didn't come up with that. But if you want to look, go read it if you're interested in what Lee has to say. It was pretty sobering to hear that from a guy who's generally pretty sober. He's not a guy who just throws bombs out there. To hear him say it, it hurt. Oh, we got a voicemail from our hate listener.
Yeah, I believe in mass deportations right away, starting with descendants of the Mayflower, because they came over here illegally without permission from the First Nation. They're all criminals.
I love this guy. Not his best work, though. Not his best work. Kind of lame. All right, Ali Beth Stuckey is going to join us next. I really, really want young ladies and parents of young ladies to listen to what she has to say about. She wrote a book called Toxic Empathy about how they weaponize your maternal instincts. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, pain is toxic too. Daily pain drains your life. And if you're going through it right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Either you start taking things to mask it, and those things are almost always terrible for you, or you do what so many of us do, you ignore it. I'll be fine. And instead, you just stop doing some of the things you love to do. You don't go for that daily walk. You don't play golf anymore. You don't go meet your buddies for a handball tournament like you used to. My back hurts, my knee hurts. Relief Factor might just give you your life back. 100% drug free. It's a supplement. It attacks that pain, supports your body's response to inflammation. 3 weeks of it costs $19.95. Just try it. Just try it for 3 weeks. It works. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Ali Beth Stuckey, next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I've been looking forward to talking to Ali Beth Stuckey for quite some time, even though her musical selection is one of the worst I've ever heard on this show. Ali, some of this modern Christian music is just beyond wonderful, and some of it, like that song you just picked, is hot, stinky garbage. What is wrong with you?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you would insult a fellow Texan like that, Jesse.
All right, you know what? I have to own that one. Me and my sons were actually arguing about this the other day. Is it okay to criticize gospel music? We feel like Jesus is mad at us, but some of it's not good, okay? Some of it is not good.
I feel like you probably can, but I bet your sons listen to Forrest Frank, so I might reserve your criticism.
All right, that is fair enough. Anyway, beyond being my friend and somebody who's been an outspoken activist on many things I care about deeply, Ali has a book out, and that's really why it's the central reason why I wanted her to come on tonight. But you wrote it. I didn't. I'm not an author. You are. Tell people about the book before we get going.
I go through five of the main lies that we see from progressive media and activists. Abortion is healthcare. Trans women are women. Social justice is justice. No human being is illegal. And love is love. All of these pithy circular mantras that you see that are really just tools of manipulation that pull on your heartstrings to get you to believe that the righteous moral position is the progressive one.
Ali, this is something I talk about a lot. It's part of the reason I love your book so much. It's about how these evil people use your values against you. Communists have absolutely mastered it. And because communism is of the devil, he is one of the first to try to master this, quoting scripture to Jesus, trying to get him to commit sins. This is how evil works. And it works on people who are oftentimes good people. They want to be nice. They want to be good. And they go right after those people, and they've been very successful in doing so.
Gosh, that is such a good point. You're exactly right. When we see Satan, for example, not only in the Garden of Eden, because that's how it starts, did God really say, twisting God's word, confusing Eve first to believe that she could be like God. And you're right, that is actually a theme that I see in the media and throughout this book. But also when we see his temptation of Jesus, he actually used scripture to try to tempt Jesus. And that's exactly the tool or the trick of the trade today. They use words like love, like inclusion, like empathy, like tolerance, like compassion. They even will use Bible verses like love the foreigner or care for the least of these, take them out of context and use them to bludgeon you into believing that the righteous position is, for example, open borders or abortion. But the reality is that these are destructive policies. They not only hurt someone on the other side of the moral equation that the media doesn't want you to think about, like the baby in an abortion or the citizen in the conversation about illegal immigration, but these positions actually hurt the very people progressives say they're trying to help. Abortion also hurts women. Abortion also hurts the poor immigrants who are making this trek across the border incentivized by borderless policy. So progressive ideas, they start with a good sounding intention and they end in a disastrous conclusion. And that's what I really wanted people to see in this book.
Ali, I am famously very, very hard on the American church. It's not every church. It's not every pastor. I really saw my mom's. She's got a solid one up there in Montana, but it's not every church. It's not every pastor, but there are a lot of churches and large churches in this country where the pastors are weak, effeminate little babies, and they are leading their congregation astray because they're so concerned about offending people that 30 to 40% of Christians don't even vote is pathetic to me. That there is not a voter registration drive at virtually every church once a month is embarrassing to me. Why are American Christians so complacent? Again, not all of them, but a large enough percentage, it's killing us.
Yeah, and you know, actually, the churches that we do see having those voting drives is the predominantly black churches, and most of them vote Democrat. There's really nothing like that on the more conservative side of the Christian spectrum. You're right, because most of these pastors, I think, persuaded in large part by toxic empathy into and to believing that to be loving to someone is to lie to them or to affirm their sin, they believe that they are being bold and being clear by saying, well, both sides are bad and politics don't save us. Yeah, that's easy to say when you don't think that your freedoms and your rights and your safety is being affected by politics. I like to say politics matter because policy matters because people matter. Politics affects policy, policy affects people, and people matter. Therefore, you have a responsibility as a pastor, as a shepherd of a flock, to tell your congregants the truth. Clarity is kindness. Confusion is cruelty. And so if your congregants are leaving every sermon saying, okay, but I still don't know what to think about abortion, I still don't know what to think about gender, and if they're trying to tune in to Jesse Kelly or Ali Stuckey to finally get answers on these big worldview issues, then you are failing as a pastor.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to tune in to me to figure out how to live your life. That's for sure. That's something you should be getting from someone much more qualified who's sitting at the pulpit, hopefully, you know, preaching what he should be preaching. Again, we're speaking with Ali Beth Stuckey, author of a wonderful book. I really want you to go pick up that book. Ali, culturally, I know we have an election coming, and I'm very hopeful that it's going to go well, but it doesn't solve everything. We probably, as a comfort mechanism, we pretend like elections, you know, just win this one and everything will be fixed. But cultural issues, or frankly, spiritual issues, are much bigger and broader than single elections. And we forget that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Now, I do see some reason to hope, actually, in the younger generation and Gen Z. And actually, you would have a better view of this as someone with teenage sons than I do. But just looking at it statistically and even some of the interactions that I have, I love to see the rise in religious affiliation and church attendance specifically among young men. Now, it's kind of a bleak picture when you look at the direction young women are going. But I also know, as much as the girl bosses want to deny this, I also know that there are a lot of women in my own life who would be Democrat if not for the good sense and leadership of their husbands. And so I am hoping that men actually have the power to change the culture for the better among Gen Z. I also think it's interesting how many of these conservative Christian young people are actually very clear and pretty black and white when it comes to issues of gender and sexuality, which you wouldn't really expect. Now, the majority of them still lean left, but those who don't, I think, are really clear and strong, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm hoping for something better in the future. It's not often that we look to the younger generation for that kind of leadership, but I'm hoping for the best there.
I tend to agree with you. I see what I mean, the emails I get from families who listen, from young men, young women, honestly, some of these people, teenagers, and it fills me up with hope for the next generation. So what happened to the previous couple generations? And I'm most definitely pointing fingers at myself. I've plenty of failures on my end as well. What did we do wrong? Where did we go wrong? How in the world did we let our country get to this place that we now have to hand to our children?
Yeah, I don't know if I can speak to Gen X. I think you're Gen X, right?
Or I don't know, Ali. I'm old. I was born in 1981. I'm balding and I have gray in my beard. That's all I know.
You know what? You're my brother's age. And so y'all are the oldest millennials. Y'all are the elder millennials. So I was born in 92. And so I'm a millennial, but I'm right smack dab in the middle. And so I guess to speak to my generation, I think like a lot of us, we were probably lulled to sleep thinking that America is just getting better and better and freer and richer, and that there's really nothing that we have to do about it. I don't think I realized until college or after college that there is a real cultural crisis, moral crisis, political crisis going on. And I think that we just assumed that every generation, like the generations before us, would be better off than our parents, because our parents' generation and certainly our grandparents' generation accomplished a whole heck of a lot. So it just seemed logical that we were going to improve as well, but we didn't. We didn't. Things are worse off than they were for our parents. So that's probably part of it.
No doubt. She is Ali Beth Stuckey. Her book is Toxic Empathy. She's a terrible selector of music, but a wonderful author. I really want you to go pick up that book, especially you young ladies and parents of young ladies. Toxic Empathy is the name of the book. Read it so you can understand what they're doing to you and why. Ali, appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jesse.
Using your values against you. Don't let them do it. They are masters at doing it. Don't let them do it. All right, we have more emails, other things coming. Before we get to those things, let's get to this. Let's get to being the hands and feet, protecting people, protecting the vulnerable. We have a lot of blessings here in America, many, many, many blessings, more than I can list here. But one of the main blessings we have is we are not under attack from other countries, not military attack. If you live in Israel, being attacked by rockets, by terror, but it's part of your life. It's not like a one-off thing. October 7th wasn't a one-off thing. It just happened to be the largest of them. It's your life. So who builds all these bunkers? Who provides the flak jackets? Who can help? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been on the ground helping for over 40 years. Help them, help them. Call 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Well, this is very interesting. This is courtesy of the Daily Signal. An FBI agent, he's a guy who investigated a bunch of January 6 cases. His name is Clark G. Burns. He was throwing January 6ers in jail. You know what else he did? Contributed more than $7,000 to Democrat candidates and their causes, including President Joe Biden's 2020 race. Draining the swamp, whatever word you want to put on it, firing bureaucrats, I don't care what term you use. It's not optional. It cannot be something we do, you know, if it's popular. We don't want to appear mean. We have to clean out the government. There are evil communists in positions of extreme power in the intelligence agencies, in the FBI, but I repeat myself, in the NSA, in the IRS, EPA, the State Department might be the worst of them. There are things you can, we'll be able to tell early. If Donald Trump is elected 1 week from now, we will be able to tell very, very early if this is going to be an effective 4 years or not. And there are two major things you can look for almost immediately. Are people getting fired? And I don't mean one or two. I don't mean one headline, so-and-so at the NSA gets let go. Are government employees dropping like flies? If they are, it shows you Trump has the focus and the team around him to try and save this country. If that happens, we are in a good, we're on a good path, put it that way. If it doesn't, we're in very, very deep trouble. And the second thing is the deportation thing, which I won't go over again because we've talked about that enough the last two nights. If the deportations begin immediately, again, I want to stress, not five, not 10, not, we removed a gang member today, none of that, by the thousand. If deportations don't begin en masse very, very early, we are in very, very deep trouble. Watch for those two things. Firings of government employees, deportation of people who should not be here. Those will be two gigantic tells
on whether or not we're going to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Back to the voicemails, reluctantly.
Jesse Kelleberger, I heard you say that internal polling suggests that Kamala's career might be ending. Didn't her career get started with internal polling?
I don't know what to say anymore. I try. You know, let's go to the emails. Hey, Jesse, when I was in the infantry at Fort Bragg, there was a tropical depression that came over us while we were in the field training, so I was completely soaked for about 48 hours. As a result of that, I got prickly heat all over my back, and to this day, it was the worst pain I have ever felt. It was like 1,000 ants biting you all at once every time you moved. In the meantime, because we're dudes, all my brothers would laugh at me and say, oh no, the prickly, it's so painful. But in reality, that's how us dudes say nice things to each other. It's so true. It's so true. That's how dudes relate to each other. Any dude I'm going to be friends with, that's how dudes relate to each other. You give your boys as much crap as humanly as possible, and you expect your boys to give that crap right back to you. Also, prickly heat, freaking awful. I didn't get a ton of it. I got some of it a couple times in Thailand. I've been in some rain before. I've never seen rain like that. I live in Houston. This swamp. Oh, Chris, the droplets. It's like they were a half gallon apiece. You were just soaked to the bone immediately. Yes, Chris, it's the jungle. It was so bad. And I had prickly heat bad, and we were having to pull leeches off of our body. I told you that story at the end of this final field exercise. No, Chris, it's fine. This will be a clean story. At the end of that field exercise, well, towards the end, it was the last day. We're all so run down and sick. Everyone has dysentery. Everyone has prickly heat. Everyone's tired of just the leeches, and it's just the jungle's horrible. Respect for you Vietnam guys, as always, that we were crossing this river. Now, you could walk across it, and I want to say it's probably up to my knees, so 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet. I have long legs. Shut up, Chris. I slipped crossing the river. I slipped, but I managed to fall on my butt, kind of like half on my hip, half on my butt, and I'm down in the water. And I've got my weapon held out of the water, and the water's up to my chest, but the water was kind of cool. And I was so sick and exhausted, I didn't even pick myself right up. I just sat there for a couple minutes. And my boys are all, hey, Kelly, are you okay? Kelly, you okay? And I said, I'm good. Just leave me be for a minute. I'll catch up in a second. I'm going to sit here and let the water wash over me. It was glorious, actually. It was glorious. Probably as glorious as chalk. No, that's too far. That's too far. When you have a natural herbal supplement that can give you a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days without injections and all this other crazy crap guys are doing to themselves, when you have an herbal supplement like that, that's as good as it gets. That's better than a nice, cool river in the middle of the Thai jungle that washes the leeches away. I think chalk would even back me up on that. Chalk, better than leeches. And female vitality stacks, male vitality stacks, Chalktober discounts on subscriptions. Get a subscription. They're even giving out freebies in Chalktober. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. And as the guy emailed earlier, if you'd rather call, talk to somebody, ask questions, call them. 50-CHOQ-3000. The dimes are waiting by the phone to help you out. All right? All right, let's talk about this story from overseas, how it applies domestically. We're going to dig into illegals in illegal voting next.
This is an iHeart podcast.